Hello and welcome to another episode of You May or May Not Like It, the Review and Roast podcast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Mike, who you can find at Review and Roast or at Mike Miro, whichever one you want to do. For this episode, we are going to discuss the pilot episode of Into the Badlands, the new show on AMC. So let's get into it. You guys want me to go first?
You can.
This show is a mix of Django Unchained, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and Spartacus, and it's terrible. That pretty much covers that show. Anyone else got anything else to add? Because I think that nailed
it. Well, I'll add it just how you added to the Man on High Castle. Maybe you're too stupid to like the show.
Too stupid to realize the show is terrible.
It is not terrible.
It is so terrible. Remind you, we're talking about the pilot. I know you've watched more.
Go ahead.
But we're talking about the pilot.
Proceed, sir.
I did. I'm done.
You have to tell you, this is a podcast, not a blurb. So go ahead.
It might be a blurb.
Okay, basically the synopsis is it is post-apocalyptic type of scenario. There were seven brothers and sisters who took charge of the entire world and said, "We're getting rid of guns," and everybody's like, "Okay." So now they all drive around with motorcycles, cars, and samurai swords, and now the seven brothers and sisters are fighting each other for control of the land. And there's some weird kid who is a total schwanzball. But if you make him bleed, he fucking makes you bleed right back.
That is very bad.
That exactly.
That is a very bad explanation of the show.
Now, that's pretty much what it is about.
That's actually not what it's about, even at all. And if I'm not mistaken, actually, the setup is nine barons.
Oh, that's right.
Nine. That control nine different territories, and they're not all brothers and sisters. That part's actually incorrect.
Pretty sure that's what they said, but
that's,
okay.
That's not true. Now, who set up the whole no guns policy may be true. But basically, you have nine barons that control territories. They have their own...
plantations.
Let's call it militia force that are... their own fighter forces called Clippers. And these guys are the people that carry out their will, let's just say. And these nine areas are basically just zones, I guess. They don't really show you where it is, what it is, what part of the world we're in, even. I mean, we could be in South Africa for all we know, to be honest. But they do start out the show with the main character is Sonny, played by Daniel Wu, That's basically three U's. We'll just call him three U's. So anywho, you have him, and he is under the employ of Baron Quinn, I believe. And
yes.
And who's played by, you know what, I forget the name of it. He's an actor we know.
I can look that
I'm
up.
I'm sorry, off the top of my head. I'm looking. We're not going to know it because it's Martin Soskas. But you'd recognize the face. Daniel Wu is a bit of a larger star.
He was in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Who's that? Quinn?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. And so basically he has this force of Clippers. They train them from the time they're young boys. And now what you do is you get into the whole dynamic of slowly introducing different barons and different storylines. And basically, this kid, MK, who Sonny rescues, has some type of, like you said, if he bleeds, he becomes more powerful, this, that, or the other thing. But he has a medallion that leads him, I guess, out of the Badlands? So,
it's basically the crest of his hometown or whatever,
right? And I forget the name of it. And
it's cause the other people
we
don't
haven't watched
it
in 2 weeks. So,
Johnsonville.
Basically, you have the Baron controlled territories, and then the outskirts are the Badlands, and then beyond that, like most post apocalyptic things, any zombie movie or whatever, there's some kind of better city to live in.
Oh yeah,
I don't remember what it's called. We'll have to have that information next time. But basically,
Smithtown.
So this kid might know the key to getting to that location. So in his efforts to escape, we run into another Baron called the Widow. She is the neighboring territory to Quinn. They have issues, and that's kind of where they leave it off there. You get to see Sonny in action, which is amazing. And if you don't like that, I think you're lying, to be honest. What did you think about the fight scenes?
I mean, the fight scenes were great, but I don't. It doesn't make sense.
Which part? That's what I need to know.
That 9 people got together and said, "We're getting rid of all guns," and everybody was like, "Okay, let's learn kung fu." It's so cheesy and bad.
Well, you have to throw out the backstory that leads to that scenario.
Yeah, it's not like they just
you can't even dwell on that if you're going to watch this show.
Yeah,
because like, I mean, they go when they
you have
meet,
to assume this. It's just like High Castle. You have to assume the scenario, I guess.
They basically said in the opening that these 9 people got together and said, "We are going to abolish all guns."
Right, and guns are gone, and they're just destroyed, and nobody makes them because there's not gun factories. So if they're gone, they're gone. I mean, it's not to say that we won't see a Colt 45 in some episode, because we very well may, but, you know, that's the whole point that makes the show unique, really. And, again, you have different factions vying for power, so I think it leaves plenty of room for all kinds of things, to be honest.
Where I think the disconnect for me came with was after this post-apocalyptic event, which they don't even touch on. 9 people got together, said, "We're going to abolish guns. We're going to have our own little
utopia,
slave plantations where you can either be a kung fu fighter or you can work in the poppy fields." And everyone's like, "That sounds fair."
Yeah. Well, it's not even about being fair. I think that,
like, I think it would have just been pure mayhem.
There's just no choice, you know, and that's basically the way that order was made.
There's always a choice.
These 9 people were the 1%. They had the houses. They had the means to feed and clothe everybody. Right. Like, I get
that. Yeah, you want to eat or you want to go into the Badlands. That's the whole point. They do have a choice. They can leave and
go to the Badlands, where the Clippers will hunt them.
I know, I'm just
anyway.
Saying, after right. whatever event caused this, let's go back to antebellum slavery days,
right,
event
but I mean,
happened, nobody said, "Hey, you know what? I don't like that guy's idea." No.
Right, but you have a lot of... Yeah, but that's why now he's got a force of guys that...
Oh, I understand where they're at now. I'm saying how you get from apocalyptic event to that, I'm like...
Oh, that was Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, I mean, there was obviously... There's been quite a bit of time that's passed, as obvious to the fact that everything is gorgeous out in the Badlands. Flowers and trees and no wrecked cities. But somewhere out there exists this city that is supposedly this grand utopia that everyone's like, "That's not real." Well, this kid came from there.
Yeah, but nobody... Yeah, but again, they're keeping that information. See, the Barons...
They obviously know more.
May or may not know. But
may or may not like it.
They're... Right, they're keeping the general populace in the dark, which is what you would do if you're trying to keep somebody under your thumb.
Right.
You keep them dumb and fed, and they won't revolt. That's
right. Why somebody needed to whip out their smartphone and be like, "You know, I'm hearing a lot about this Detroitopia place, and why don't we just take a walk?"
I don't know. I think the Badlands be better than that.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
They are. That, yeah,
they might have a Jets pizza. They could have a Wi-Fi connection. I don't know. The thing that threw me instantly, I was like, "Really? Plantation slavery?" And that was someone's... The guy who came out of the show was like, "Ah, that'll be a good idea." That part just totally does not register with me at all.
See, but now don't forget, you're in... They only basically...
Well, what year is it in this show?
I don't know if they ever even allude to that.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but the point is, don't forget, you're getting the glimpse at one Baron's... Let's just keep calling it a plantation. Right. Yeah. We don't know what's going on anywhere else. Like, the other people might have their territory might be free commerce. Who knows? You know, we might get into episode 3 and find out everyone's just getting whipped. And I mean, okay, well then maybe I'll start.
Well, here's another
start
thing.
Agreeing more, but
when
again, we don't have all the info.
When they're in that barracks or whatever, and he's doing a speech about this is my finest clipper, and you see the tattoo on his back, that's a mark for every man he's killed. I'm watching this going, all these kids have some level of kung fu training. This guy is like the biggest kung fu badass ever. And this dude's out there saying, like, do you want to be my clipper, or do you want to go out into the band? Like, all it takes is like one of those kids to go, this guy sucks. Blah. This guy's going to fight all of his fighters.
Yeah, but these guys are the guys that chose. Like, that's the whole premise.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, you push.
You push
someone far enough, and they're going to be like, I'm going to cut this dude's head.
Yeah, but those clipper guys are the.
He doesn't share the shrimp with anybody.
It's like anything. Any Nazi could have shot Hitler. I mean, they all believed in him.
They might have.
That's the point. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I see where you're going with it, but like you're forgetting that these guys are volunteers. They want to do it. You know what I mean? That's the point.
I just feel
now maybe
like,
people don't want to be out in the fields picking poppy seeds or whatever you do with poppy, but
I feel like
those the Clipper kids they're dying. That's all they've ever dreamed of. They don't want to be working the fields. They want to be kicking ass and stabbing people.
I just feel like there'll be people who remember how it was that will explain that like this sort of hierarchy happens when people are given free will to, you know, basically procure all the resources for themselves and then dole out as they see fit. And I think they just went way too extreme with it. There's this one guy with a beard and a monocle who's like, you know, get out there and sword fight, you sons of bitches. And they're like, all right, well, yeah. Get on that motorcycle and go get me some corn or whatever the hell he wants.
Well, and I was, you know, while you know, you guys are discussing, I was reading other people's reviews to see, you know, what other people think. And there's a lot of people, you know, I mean, it's almost as high as Highcastle as far as IMDb stars or whatever. But you click on some of the critic reviews, and this right here, perfect. This is how kind of how I felt, although he left out some of my explanation. But the action-adventure sci-fi series plays like a Frankenstein's monster made up from the leftover parts found inside a train wreck involving Mad Max, Django Unchained, Deadwood, Game of Thrones, and every Jet Li movie ever made, which, depending on your perspective, is either awesome or odd. I am in the odd camp.
I'm totally in that camp.
But, I mean, I get what he's saying. I'm a little depressed that he left out some of my personal choices. But
it is weird and nonsensical as it was, when they got to that town and it turned into, like, steampunk derby hat fight, I was like, all right, come on. You can't throw every genre into one episode
and
expect me to go,
yeah,
this is totally good. Like, I love Star Wars. I love Superman. I love this. I don't want to see them all together.
See, but I think what they're doing is that's showing that the areas are different.
No,
I get it, but you might have nine completely different areas.
Yeah, when you get to the next, when they show the next Baron, it's going to be a bunch of Civil War reenactment dudes.
Yeah, guys dressed up as stormtroopers.
Like, storm the hill!
Now, see, that fits, because these guys are already Civil War, you know, land barons going, hey, you could pick cotton or you could sword fight.
You know, I think one of the things, though, is...
Am I going to eat both ways? Well, then fuck it. I'll go pick cotton.
Because even if you get rid of the guns, I'm assuming there's been at least 50, 60, 70 years since whatever apocalyptic event happened that all of this built up. People would have stuff like, I don't know, catapults, bows and arrows. No one's just going to be like, sword, that's it. Nothing better, nothing else needed.
No, there's more than swords. I mean, they show more than swords.
And they have motorcycles, too.
I've
that's another
nothing.
Thing that's weird.
I've seen swords. That's really all
They
I've
still
seen.
Have the engine, but
swords
they don't
and clubs,
have guns
you know?
Or technology. But
well, they got
have,
rid of that stuff.
But they have...
Hey, the cops don't carry guns in London. I mean, it's a thing.
They have modern motorcycles, like Kawasaki motorcycles.
let's be honest here. Most of the planet doesn't carry guns.
Yeah. Where are they getting gasoline from?
Yeah, there's
all
also,
the factories are gone. Who's producing petroleum?
Well, now,
it's just like any other...
Just like
you go
Mad
out
Max.
And find some so you can get back.
Well, just like in Mad Max, I mean, they have a refinery somewhere.
Right.
Now,
Gas City.
Let me tell you something about the refinery. There's no way you can keep one operational without all kinds of things. But we're just going to leave that part alone. But everyone thinks Mad Max is an amazing piece of filmmaking, but there's plot holes all over that thing, too.
It's like Swiss cheese,
I think,
man.
The difference is, when a movie is made like that, you're being asked to give 2 hours of your life, whereas this show is not only asking you for an hour a week for 13 weeks, but possibly like five, six, seven seasons of like all these potholes, and they're like, yeah, just ignore them. Just go around them.
Don't look behind the curtain or the covers.
Yeah, I feel like there's a guy behind the curtain with a beard and a steampunk hat and a Superman cape and a sword in one hand and a mechanical arm. But he's like, I like everything at once.
The other thing, too, is, though, when you're you know, if it's not completely original, which almost nothing is.
Oh, agreed, no, no, no.
So, and I mean, I could write a completely original story that I thought of in my brain, and you could compare it to 50 different things if you really, really wanted to.
Dude, go to one of those fan fiction websites. Every single person there is like, my Swamp Thing story's gonna rule!
Right.
No, I mean,
I read them and go, and that's my what I'm God. Saying.
So, I mean,
don't put this up for people to see.
You know, this story is original to me. Yeah, it can be compared to 50 different things, really. You know what I mean? I honestly don't really see the Django resemblance, really. But
part of the problem plantation. With that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's
part of the problem.
This is one episode.
But that's where I got Spartacus.
Part of the problem with the Django reference is every advertisement was like, from the people who brought you Django Unchained. It's totally impossible to separate the two now because they threw it in your face.
I guess you're right. That is,
I
wasn't even thinking about that.
Well, because I don't have cable, I never saw a commercial for this.
Oh, God,
I didn't know it was by these people.
Yeah, it's something else, too. What was the other?
Tied that together anyway.
Django and something.
It might actually have been Mad Max or...
Sorry, I just had it up, too. I just closed it. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
It was Django Unchained and something else. There was like two big movies or one big movie and one big show.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I could totally see that in this show. So it's impossible to
separate
them. Yeah,
they kind of handed it to you. They made you compare it.
Yeah, if it was like from the producers of Django Unchained, a girlfriend in New York and her plucky best friend go out for a job interview. Blip, blip, blip. Then it'd be like, oh, what?
Right.
Then you could be like, yeah, I don't see the Django Unchained when they're like trying to get a job at the yogurt place, but
it's frozen yogurt.
Froyo, yeah, whatever. But I'm just saying, when you throw these big names and the show looks like that movie, you're like, oh, well, that's where they got the idea.
Well, they saved a lot of money on costumes by using a lot of them.
If the Silver Samurai shows up, then I'll know that where they're headed.
Yeah, then we got problems.
They're headed into woo. Just saying. At that point, just have Wolverine cameo and maybe get like the cast of Stargate SG-1 to show up for an episode. Just get weird with it then.
Do you have more to say or do you want to?
No, not really. I mean, we can pretty much wrap it up. I liked the show. I thought the action was good. And I thought I think the storyline has room to grow for sure. So that's actually a positive thing. And who knows where they're going to go with it, to be honest. Like I said, there are 8 more Barons there's 7 because you get a glimpse of the Widow at the end of that episode, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And I know because I've seen the second episode. That you get a better look at her
butt
area and
her area
and butt, and you get to see how she runs things. And again, now you still have more popping up. I haven't watched the more recent episodes, but I do have cable, so I see commercials. And another Baron shows up, and again, you'll be able to see what's going on in different areas. And I think that might turn people around.
I got a way to win me back. Have Baron Von Raschke be one of the Barons.
That'd be awesome. And he's training everybody how to be a wrestler.
What? He just trains everybody to use the claw. So, like, people are getting stabbed with swords. They're like, just let me get to the forehead, God. This is the worst fight ever.
Why don't you start with the numbers?
Well, I actually like the show. I like the story. I think it's got somewhere to go. So, I actually am going high. I'm going with an 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's about the average on IMDb, too.
Wow. 3.
Yeah.
impressed at all.
I'm only giving it a 3 because, like Mike said earlier, the fight scenes are actually kind of cool.
Oh, they were okay. I'm not a big fan of the, like, you know.
And again, okay, I am going to go back to it because this is another thing that really just annoyed the shit out of me with this show. So what was that guy's name? The Clipper?
Jeff. Sonny.
Sonny. Okay. Sonny has been Quinn's loyal servant for like 20 years. His back is covered in tattoos from all the men he killed. The day he brings in this prisoner, he's like, I'm going to help this guy escape. What?
Well, he also had other issues going on, if you recall.
No, I know he did, but like he, somebody who was like a bloodthirsty, loyal killing machine.
No, because
he's like, hey, kid.
No, see, because you're not paying attention to the story, because if you pay attention, you'll notice that he has a girlfriend and they have some issues, and that he's been. It's not like that day he was like, oh, you know what?
Because he wants to get married.
I'm on the other side of the bed
today.
He wants
to have a kid with her, and he can't.
So he's been having things, and now he's got this young man that he needs, that he sees being treated unfairly, and blah blah whatever. So and he doesn't just help him blindly. I mean, he helps him semi-anonymously, I guess.
Right.
You know, basically. He's going to be the guy that hunts him down again. So that's
yeah, but he's definitely not going to do anything about it. He's no, I didn't see him today.
Well, I mean, no. Again,
we just had some tea and crumpets.
Again, you'll get more in like the next episode or whatever. So it does that does also kind of translate a little bit better in the second episode for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, there you have it. That would be Into the Badlands, and.
Well, to be fair, the pilot, but still.
Right, yeah. Right. So that was just the pilot. Let's
that
be clear.
That pilot crashed into the mountain pretty much after takeoff.
So by all means, head to the website, rate it yourselves, tweet us, let us know what you think. You can find me on Twitter at XHorseAndX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Mike at MikeMiro7. Or you can always tweet the show at Review and Roast. Don't forget to head to ReviewAndRoast.com. You can read the reviews. You can rate it. You can write your own reviews. Tell me and Brian that we're stupid. By all means, I welcome it. That's all we have for you.
Yeah, check out our Facebook page, too. You can always comment on everything there, and that is also Review and Roast, or just search the hashtag Review and Roast, one word.
Yes, and that's and, not the ampersand. It's actually spelled out.
All words.
Nailed it. See you next time.